After 32 years, I came out of the closet as a gay Christian pastor. Finally, on the outside of that suffocating prison, I'm looking around and I'm like, we can't stay here. It's not enough to become informed. We have to do something about the harm we're still witnessing within systems and spaces we've been loyal to for so long. It's time we become reformers. All right, everybody. Welcome back to Confessions of a Reformer with Mike Maiashiro. I am currently in the middle of a series called The Real Lives of Gay Men, and I've got a special guest with me today named Dylan. Dylan, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, so real quick, just so people have a grid for who you are, because I know, you know, people in these interviews aren't necessarily like people they're going to recognize, but Dylan, who are you in the world? What do you do? Just what do you feel like people need to know about you to get a grid for your life?
Yeah, so I have a farm outside of Nashville. With goats and pigs and chickens and ducks and, you know, enough to keep me busy. And I work from home as a business sales manager. So I'm about an hour outside the city, and I make my way to town, you know, probably two or three nights a week. But it's really nice kind of living outside of there and, you know, having land and property. So that's where I'm at right now.
Nice. That's awesome. Is that where you're doing this interview right now, from your farm?
Yes, I am. I currently see some ducks in the pond and two or three goats just outside the window.
Wow, that's awesome. I love that. Is it also really snowy over there?
Yeah, we've got quite a bit of snow. It's a little bit more work and effort around here when it's like this. I used to enjoy a snow. Now it just means, you know, further chores.
Would you consider yourself a farmer?
No, it's more of a hobby farm. They're all like pets. I don't, you know, cook or eat or sell any of them. So it's mainly just a hobby that I've always wanted to have since I was little. I finally had the opportunity and I went for it.
Nice. That's awesome. Okay, great. Thanks for sharing that. I didn't know that. Okay, so also just for the sake of people understanding where you're coming from and your background, I don't know this about you. Did you grow up religious in any way?
Yes, until I would say 16, I was with the Church of Christ.
Okay.
In my small hometown, and I went 2 to 3 days a week.
Did you say until you were 16 years old?
Until I was 16.
Okay. And then what made you decide to leave the church?
It's kind of a loaded question. Honestly, I think if I was to sum it up, some of the experiences I had at church were like I didn't find good examples there. I just found examples of what I was trying to stay away from. Mm-hmm. And it was shocking me that I was seeing those things in church, like homophobia and racism and, you know, judgment of others. And I'm not saying that's, you know, everywhere. It was just at my church. They seem to always be looking for what's wrong with somebody versus what's right or what's good. And it frustrated me that, that's about it. Just, it really bothered me that I was going to a place of worship and instead I was learning bad things about people.
Yeah, totally. That is relatable. Okay. So how old were you when you first realized you were gay?
I would say 18. Whenever I graduated high school, I was still a virgin, still sexuality and dating. That really wasn't in the forefront or in my, you know, line of sight. But when I got to college and kind of lost a little bit of that nativity and joined a fraternity and, you know, sex started becoming part of the deal. I started noticing that I was a little curious about, you know, same sex relationships and things like that. But I kind of viewed it as a spectrum and I wasn't on one side or the other. I kind of was just floating around in the middle a little bit. And I didn't think I would ever pursue being gay or being in a same sex relationship.
Okay. Wow. Okay. So then does that mean that you were also fooling around with girls at the same time?
Yes. So I was social chairman and did a lot of things with the sororities, and doing that, you know, made a lot of relationships and hookups and things like that. So I was with, you know, women before I ever was with a man.
Okay. So you knew, like, before you were, like, sleeping with women, that you had an interest in men also?
Yeah, it was more like I was confused whether it was being turned on by these certain guys or whether it was envy that they looked so good. You know, I was kind of confused on the feelings, but yeah, you know, when I passed by the underwear aisle, of course I'll look at the packages and things like that. So I knew there was something there.
Okay. Nice. Okay. So then with all of that, if you're up for sharing, I'm curious what led up to you having your first sexual experience with a guy?
So I went to a girl's house that I knew to try to flirt and, you know, hang out, maybe hook up. And her brother was in town, had just moved into town. And I kind of had that feeling towards him and found out that he was gay later on that night. And I was like, there's this itch I haven't scratched, and I'm really turned on by this guy. So I ended up sleeping with her brother instead.
That was your first time with a guy?
Yes.
Wow. And then what was that experience like? Were you, like, shocked? Were you embarrassed? Were you afraid? Were you, like, elated?
You know, I was kind of, I would say that I was more comfortable in my own skin. I kind of felt like I'd figured it out. Like, okay, that feeling that was there, you know, there's a reason for it. So, you know, I had a good time. I didn't have any regrets. I didn't wake up scared that someone was going to find out. I woke up, you know, satisfied and happy.
Nice. Okay. Wow. So your first experience with a guy was, like, an overwhelmingly positive experience.
Yes.
Amazing. I love it. Okay. And so then maybe if this is a different question, I'd like to ask it. If not, we can move on. But what was your first crush on a guy like?
My first crush, I believe, was my closest friend my senior year. He had just moved into town, and we immediately became really close friends. We were in all the same clubs and groups and after school activities. But I always noticed that, like, sleepovers and things like that, there was always that kind of feeling, like we would cuddle and stuff. So that was my first crush, and I believe that it was reciprocated. But we never were brave enough to do anything about it, or at least, you know, we were still figuring things out.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Thanks for sharing that. Okay. So my next question is, have you ever been in a long-term relationship? And if so, what was that like?
Yes. So the brother that I met that night, that was my first sexual experience, we decided to keep hanging out and ended up dating. And shortly after, we moved in together and stuck together for 12 years. And in fact, got married when it became legal. So I was with my first encounter in a relationship for 12 years before we went separate ways.
Wow. Amazing. When you, like, think back on that, are you like, man, that was awesome, I'm so glad that's how that went? Or are you like, man, I wish that that's not how the story went?
Everything that you're going to ask me is I'm confident about, except for my feelings about whether it was worth it or not. Okay. And I say that because, like, sometimes I am so happy that I got to experience love and faithfulness and monogamy and you know, everything that comes along with a traditional relationship, taking care of somebody and being taken care of. Those were really good feelings. But then there's one part of me that's like, yeah, but you missed out on your 20s. You know, I had between 18 and 30 when I met him, I had less than 5, you know, sexual partners. So the gay in me was like, hey, I didn't get to have a fun, crazy time in my 20s. I missed all of that. I've never even been to a gay bar, and I'm 30 years old. So sometimes I'm kicking myself, and sometimes I'm grateful. The grateful most of the time wins out.
Nice. Okay. Interesting. So when you guys decided to go your separate ways, that were you then like committed to making up for lost time? Were you already thinking about that while you were still in that relationship?
I decided that I was going to be social in the gay scene because I didn't have gay friends. We lived in a rural area. We didn't go to gay bars or have gay friends. And I was like, I want to experience gay culture. I want to know things that I don't know and be with people I haven't been with and explore what I like because I've always kind of lived to take care of him. So I started going to there was a nude gay campground like 20 minutes from my house. So I went there and made all kinds of friends and had my eyes opened to, a few different crazy things that goes on in places like that. And started going with friends on what we'd call gaycations, which would just be us going to like Fort Lauderdale or Chicago or these other, kind of cities where there's gay neighborhoods and things to do. And like Puerto Vallarta, for example, as well. I just started saying yes to things I would never say yes to and kept it, I would say I was well behaved but had fun.
Okay, so now obviously feel free to be as vocal or as like veto as you want to be about any of these questions. I'm just curious about your process. So when you were going on these gaycations or going to like gay campgrounds and all these things, are there just a couple of experiences you'd care to share that were like eye-openers for you, or that like felt like lines of demarcation that you crossed that were like impactful to your journey?
Yes. So first I learned that in the gay world, I'm a pretty attractive man and kind of my whole shtick with the farm boy and all that it was going to be kind of popular in the gay community. So I went from no confidence to having a, just enough confidence to jump into conversations. The regular, like the permanents that lived at the campground, they kind of took me under their wing and made sure I didn't drink too much and stumble off or say yes to things I shouldn't. There were things like they had like a shed with a sling in it and some glory holes and things like that. And I would, meet somebody and sneak off to that shed with them and we would have a good time. I've had, group encounters and things like that. And on trips, we'd go to the bathhouses or go to the gay bars in that area. So I got to experience that in Vegas and San Francisco, Puerto Vallarta, Fort Lauderdale, Chicago. So it was kind of like a thing that we would do if we went to somewhere that had one. It's pretty fun.
Wow. Okay. So I'm curious for these kinds of experiences, do you feel like ashamed or like I need to be secretive about the fact that I've done stuff like this or that I enjoy these things? Or do you feel like there's nothing to hide? I love what I'm experiencing and I don't need to apologize for any of this.
The latter. So I've always believed in just standing by your decisions and making your decisions to, keep your character intact, but live life. And I was with friends that have done things like that, and I judged them no less. And I knew if I would be responsible and healthy, that these experiences could be positive, and I have no regrets. And I've talked to the other gays about it. I've talked to straight people about it. I've told even family about it. I'm here to have a good, fun, safe time and enjoy other people's company, however that unfolds.
Nice. Okay, and your family, are they, how do they respond to stuff like that?
We're not very close. I moved out when I was 16 and got my own apartment and job. So we kind of treat each other. We're a holiday family. Like we really only just see each other on holidays and important events. But the conversation, this is crazy. The conversation arose because I have a one of my barns, one of my sheds in the back also has some toys and things. And my mom stumbled into that shed looking for a ladder and was like, what is this? And I was like, it holds up kayaks. And she goes, Dylan, it has a pillow on it. I was like, okay, so it's a sling. So I had to explain to my mom what a sling was. And then it led to examples. And then it led to, hey, one time I did this. So it was a pretty unique conversation, something that me and my mom's never really talked about. But it was a funny day.
Was she uncomfortable? Did she like regret you telling her any of that? How did that end up?
It was more just kind of an eye roll and a sigh. Like, you know, I've never hid who I was, and I've always, you know, had a smile on my face about everything I did. So it was almost like a joke.
Nice. Okay. So while we're here, then this is like not a question I thought I'd ask, but for any of the gay guys who are listening who maybe haven't had those kinds of experiences or kind of feel like on the outside of that stuff, do you have any pieces of advice for them if they're like thinking about wanting to become a little bit more adventurous with their own sex lives? Like any things you would tell them that you wish you'd known when you went into that part of your life?
Yeah. I would say don't look to others and try to kind of copy what they do, because I've brought friends at the gay campgrounds that have sit around fully clothed and had a good time and just made friends. I've had those that's partied in the shed and had crazy adventures, and I've had everything in between. So do you, but if you're curious about it and there's a safe space for you to explore it, do it. You only live once. You know, we're in a benefit being gay that, you know, sexuality is a little bit more on the surface and a little bit easier accessible. So, you know, if you're interested or you're wanting to explore, there's places and times and opportunities where that could actually be a fun time without regret.
Yeah, nice. Okay, thanks. So you spent 12 years in a monogamous, committed relationship, and then that ended and you started expanding and exploring and like getting to have the experiences you didn't have. And so now you and I chatted about this at a party a little bit ago. So this part is unique and also very much like something I did want to ask you about. So have you been in another like committed monogamous relationship like the one you had, or were you like, oh, I don't want to do that ever again? Or what was your response to that experience?
So a friend I made, you know, in my early 30s, we ended up dating for a year. And during that year, we kind of played around together. Like we weren't open, but if we met a friend and we all were vibing, you know, we would all kind of, you know, play around together. So that's where I found like my comfort zone. I don't think I could ever be in a completely open relationship where I'm wondering what they're doing or anything like that. Although, you know, I've got friends that do and they it works perfect for them. But for me, and I would say maybe it's an insecurity, I liked playing together and knowing what my partner was up to and vice versa. So that was my, where I fell. I was like, this is good. I can stick with this. And then we started only having, you know, the threesome or whatever with one particular person. And we all three just kind of stuck together. And it wasn't like a labeled throuple or anything, but it, you know, it was kind of all three of us together. And then that kind of dissipated and we kind of went our separate ways. I was single for a while. And then I found two really cool guys that kind of helped me out of a bad place. And I think that's where we started talking about at the party was the more recent partnership that I am in.
So would you consider your current relationship arrangement a throuple, or would you not call it that? Or yeah, how do you talk around that?
So I met the guys I'm with playing in a gay kickball league. We ended up playing on the same team. And what started as one of those kind of like, hey, let's go hang out and see what happens, see if we want to play around or anything, it became a consistent thing. And we noticed that we all three kind of had more of an intimate and emotional attachment more than physical. It was a lot of cuddling up and all of us sleeping in the bed together and going and having lunch with friends together. And soon all of our friend circle and our friends around town all kind of knew it was the three of us, though unspoken and untalked about, like, you know, no labels, but it was the three of us. And we were together probably 2 to 3 days a week, visiting all our friends together, having dinners together with other couples. And it just really feels nice. It works for us.
Okay, so you guys never like sat down and said, like, officially, here's what we're doing, here's what we want, here are the rules, the guidelines. There wasn't really like a conversation around that.
Yeah, there's been rules and guidelines. I don't like to say we're an established throuple at this point, because, like, you know, family members don't know. There's no like announcement or anything like that, but it's understood, and there's you know, not necessarily rules, but asks of each other. You know, like if let me see, some, well, yeah, I mean, I'll ask if you need examples or not.
Yeah, I would love to hear any and all of what you're willing to share. I'm so curious. Yeah.
So, you know, like if I find an opportunity to have an encounter with somebody that I, you know, meet, that's cool. But just be respectful and responsible, maybe communicate. And that goes both ways. So we've all three almost given each other the ability to play separately, but none of us have in the 5 months we've been together. We're content and comfortable with each other. We just ask for communication if something else happens. I believe that's it. It's not a lot of stipulations. It's more just enjoying each other's company.
So you guys don't live together, but you don't live together, but you do spend a lot of time together. Is that right?
Right. So I live maybe 45 minutes away from them, but I spend the weekends with them. And then sometimes during the week when I do work in Nashville, I'll stay with them then too. So I would say anywhere from 2 to 4 nights a week, we stay in the same bed.
Okay. So just on a practical level, I'm curious, what's it like with two other people in the bed? I know some people have enough trouble with one other person. Do you enjoy that? Does it feel like, oh God, this is like not the best sleep? How is that?
Yeah. So most times good. Sometimes somebody gets a little too like hot and whatever. Like we have another bed in the other room, and sometimes one of us will sneak off to that bed so that they're not getting squished or something like that. But you know, we all have a little cuddling style and we make it work. And I would say 4 out of 5 nights we're staying together, we're all three in the same bed, and we're fine with it.
Nice. And then I guess I'm also curious, just from your side of all this, is there a part of you that's like nervous or insecure that the other two like live together, have been together for a while, and you're kind of stepping into their dynamic? Or does that feel like a positive to you? Like, what's that like?
Yeah, good question. So they were together for a few years before I came into the picture. And I'm a very kind of empath when it comes to like feelings and emotions. Like, I feel what you're feeling. I want to make sure that you feel happy. If not, I'm going to feel the way you're feeling. So like when I came into this, I was like, I am not going to mess up this relationship. That's my number one goal. Is the hottest thing about these two guys is that they're together. So I told myself, if I'm feeling it more with one than the other, or one of them tries to break a rule without telling the other, I'm going to back off and I'm going to leave or just become friends, because I don't want to mess with the relationship. But I also noticed there was, you know, they have a different love language and they have needs that I wouldn't say aren't being fulfilled, but you know, everybody has different love languages and styles. And I fit right there in the middle where I was not picking up slack, maybe, but completing the puzzle.
Would you mind sharing like details around the love languages and how you stepped in there?
So like one of my boyfriends or partners or whatever, they their love language is they like to do all the chores and take care of the other one and you know, do sweet things. And the other one's love language is affirmation and physical touch and sexuality and, you know, showing their love through intimacy. And sometimes that didn't always go well. Sometimes one felt, you know, like they weren't getting what they need to be the happiest they can be, although they were never in any kind of trouble. They were never in any kind of like trouble of splitting. They were great. They loved each other. But when I came in, I kind of filled that space
with like bringing acts of service to the person who was doing the acts of service.
Like, it started with like the one that likes intimacy and physical touch and being, you know, told they're loved, things like that. That's naturally who I am. Like, I love to give hugs and kisses and affirmations and how are you, and you look sexy and talk dirty, you know. That's me. But the other one, if you talk dirty to him, he would turn beet red and stutter and leave the room. He's just not that way at all. I still to this day do not text him dirty talk because I know that it's just gonna embarrass him or make him nervous. But the other one, that's pretty much all we do is talk dirty because that's kind of his way. So it just, I understood what made him tick. I delivered what they wanted and needed, and it felt natural to me because it was exactly how I was in my other relationships that were successful.
Nice. And so you feel like, do you feel like you're getting the best situation out of this, or do you feel like you wish you were more integrated into the dynamic?
The integration is happening, but I'm very comfortable and happy with where I'm at in it. It's getting better and better as it goes, instead of like, you know, I was worried boredom would kick in or they would get tired of me or I'd get tired of them. But we're not, you know, we're communicating all the time and hanging out all the time. I know kind of my place. I know that I'm the newbie and I'm coming in on something that was already built. So the logical part of me in my head is saying, hey, if somebody was to get dropped, it's going to be you. So I'm building up, you know, thick skin in case that ever happens. But my main mindset is enjoy what I've got while I've got it. And let's see what happens.
This might be an unfair question, but I'm curious about it. Is there a party that like kind of hopes there's a longer term possibility in this situation? Do you want it to stay like more casual, or not casual, but like, you know, it's up in the air and who knows? Like, yeah, how are you feeling about that?
So if it goes to where we just keep it the way it is or just become friends, like I'll always be friends with them. They've been really good to me. And introduced me to new friend circles and new things to do, and just really built me up when I needed it. So they're always going to be special to me. My hopes, honestly, my hopes are that it keeps growing into something. I would love to explore that. I've got friends that are in, you know, throuples, and it's always intrigued me. And I've got a lot of love to give, and I require a lot of love back. And it just makes sense for me. I've tried traditional and it wasn't necessarily for me. It was limiting and almost at times isolating. So this adventure and this path, it feels right and it feels fun and it seems to be working.
Wow. I love it. That's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing all that. Dylan, okay, I got to land the plane, but I so appreciate you just giving us a peek into your life and the dynamic and just sharing. I know some of this is really personal and intimate, so I really appreciate you just like sharing all that. I'm so intrigued. I'm inspired. I think there's some fascinating, beautiful sentiment you've shared in the midst of your own process. And yeah, thank you for sharing all that. That's so cool.
Yeah. Hey, it's been a pleasure. I don't mind talking about it at all. It's fun.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, great. So listen, those of you who are listening, if you have any questions about non-monogamy, throuple dynamics, that kind of thing, feel free to email contact@mikemyashiro.com and I can see if I can field some kind of responses there. But I know for especially, you know, my audience, this is a lot of this is going to be new and foreign. So if there's any kind of questions or curiosity, please feel free to communicate. I'm happy to get you answers. Dylan, thank you so much for being here and being part of this series. I appreciate it. And we'll see everyone in the next episode.
Listen, there's more where this came from. If you want to dive deeper, check out mikemyashiro.com.